Welcome back to JK Metal Podcast, and welcome to Cole.
Utah.
Lugnut, how's it going?
Utah Motorsports Campus, that's what I was trying to go for, but it's all good. We didn't rehearse this beforehand as usual, so that's why we're a little off. But anyway, we are a weekly motorcycle podcast for the everyday rider, specializing in track days,
racing,
club racing, and
all sorts of entertainment.
Great entertainment, all sorts of kinds. So this week we are coming to you, as we mentioned, from Utah Motorsports Campus. Just finished up a USBA round, and that's what we're going to talk about. We do have to cover later on in the show at some point the MotoGP fantasy, because MotoGP did happen this weekend, or we can save that for next week.
Well, we were a little busy racing this weekend.
We didn't get to watch it yet.
Haven't watched it yet, but I think all of us will be catching up tonight, so maybe you have to wait till next week.
Yeah, probably next week for the fantasy, but after the break, you expect a sweet rider's tip, coverage of the USBA weekend, which was quite fruitful, I think, for everyone.
It was hot on and off the track.
There you go. So, stick around for the break.
Yesterday, at one point, I was in sick.
Lugnut's still here.
Oh, I am. Usually I'm gone already, but.
Yeah, what did we establish? He is the guest host.
Guest host.
Yeah, guest host. An official guest host.
I've been a guest too many times to just be a guest anymore, so yeah. I like my official title.
You have upgraded.
Yeah. That's fair, and I've got something exciting planned for you.
Oh, no.
There is a rider tip this week that we saved. We were going to do it last week, but we saved it, because we want your real-time take on it.
Live.
Let's hear this rider's tip.
All right, this week's riding tip, once again brought to you by Bettinger Motorsports, which is private coaching that builds solid riders through vision-based training. They operate down in Texas. And Josh says this week, if you want to be a lion, hang out with lions. Seek out riders, coaches, and mentors in the paddock who are faster than you, more experienced than you, and have their act together. You can learn from faster people on track, but you can also absorb so much just by being around people who are more experienced than you. Just listening to what the faster guys talk about, what they're focusing on, watching how they run their race program can help you develop good habits. Hang with lions and you'll become a lion. That is this week's tip. So
that's a solid tip too. Yeah. I could definitely go down a rabbit hole with that.
That's what we're here for.
Cool. Yeah. There he goes. Just kidding. Yeah. Alice in Wonderland. Great movie, by the way. So, just thinking back into the beginning of my career, you know, there's a guy who just came back racing Moto America this year after some injuries, and his name is Bradley Ward. And dude was just always a ripper, man. It was great to watch him ride. I was new. I didn't have many friends in the paddock, and I just knew that I wanted to be the fast guy. You know, I wanted to do what these guys are doing. And so I remember he flew around me at Chuckwalla one time, and I was fearful of his life going into the slide at Chuckwalla turn 11. And he made it. And I seen him later that day, and I told him straight up, I was like, dude, I thought you were going to die. I thought that was it for you, man. You were flying. Mm-hmm. And we just started chopping it up. And he would come, he kind of stepped out of his way to come hang out in our pit and, you know, after hours, after the races were done. And just him being around, like, I would ask him a question here or there, and it was just a sponge, you know. And we continued to be that, like, my entire career from my first track day to even here where we're at USBA, which, you know, I had a pretty successful weekend this weekend, but I'm still learning from the guys around me and the guys that are doing it well. And we talk about, you know, how to take a certain corner, or we talk about bike setup, we talk about tire stuff, or we talk about training and powering our body. Like, everybody's got a little something to offer, and I feel like it's not just the alpha lions, but even the cubs coming up in the sport oftentimes have a little something that they can offer to us. So
new take on something,
all part of that lion breed though.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you're coming out here trying to be the I don't know, the hyena, you can laugh your ass away from here, man. There's a few of those around, but yeah, we won't go there. I think that's a great tip, though. I mean, like I said, I can keep going down that rabbit hole, but
that's a great tip. I'll just add that, you know, I've seen that in my own thing. I mean, I was out here doing track days for a year and a half, 2 years, plateaued, kind of sat at a spot. Maybe wouldn't still be doing the sport, and I don't want this to go to your head, but I did meet you. You've introduced me to a lot of your friends, and hanging out with the Lions.
Well, don't put quotation marks around that. This is the number one player.
No, it really pains me. I don't want to go into his head, but but if you surround yourself, that's true in business, that's mm-hmm. true in motorcycle racing, that's true in crocheting, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Surround yourself with the people that are doing it good, and mm-hmm. they will accelerate your coming to their level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's funny because that, you know, that kind of leads me into motorcycles is life, you know, and it's not that this is all I care about in life is motorcycles. Like, I love fishing too, and I love my family.
That's why
he's
got the measuring tape on his cooler.
That's why I got the measuring tape on my cooler, yes.
Thank God.
We thought it was for something else. Why do your shows always get a little crossed up when I'm on them?
Something about the guest host.
There's something about the guest host for sure. No, I mean, like, there's just so much in my life I can... You know, my work, what I do for a living. I'm a sales guy. I work for Snap-on. It's a great company. I love my job. The vice president of Snap-on reached out to me and asked me how he can make more individuals more successful right out the gate, like I was. I had some good luck on my side or whatever. I said, man, go pick on motorcycle racers. They have expensive hobbies, and they don't know when to quit, you know?
Get the people that need the money.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, not to close out the tip, because I think that this week's podcast is just going to kind of follow a similar theme.
Mm-hmm.
From what I'm feeling, but I do want to thank Josh for the tip, and just say real quick, if you're looking to ride with Josh, he does offer some sweet programs down at MSRH. Check him out. There'll be a link down in the description. You can also ride with him at Ride Smart Motorcycle School if you want to ride at COTA or any other tracks in Texas that are available down there, and that's where Josh coaches out of. So thank you, Josh. As I said, I think we're going to kind of continue that similar theme, though, because I also had some things I wanted to say. Look at that lions, not sheep, on the hat.
You know,
hat.
It's funny. I thought that's about great. That as soon as you read the rider's seat tip.
This is all themed. This was all planned. We did rehearse this, actually.
Awesome.
You guys rehearsed it without me, though, so I'm in the dark here.
That's how we do every episode.
I love it. Raw.
Oh, well, anyway, I don't know exactly where to start.
Well, I'll tell you where to start.
Okay.
Anthony wants to start this one as the guest host. I guarantee there's some things that happened in your life this weekend that Anthony's going to want to cover. And so, hot seat, you go.
Introduction. All right. So, we all heard one of your favorite podcast hosts here, Easton, talking about his motorcycling endeavors and track days. And as you mentioned, or as we've all been saying, we're here in Utah Motorsports Campus. So, they made the long trek across the country. Just to ride the track day, hang out with some family and things like that. Well, we got to talking, and I think it might have been on his radar, but we made sure it happened. I'm going to go like this, and I want you to kick us off, but welcome to racing.
Welcome to racing.
That's me. Hey, I'm an official licensed racer now.
You are. You hanging out with the damn Lions, right?
Yeah.
No more hate mail, everybody. So that is...
I have been getting a lot of that. There's been a lot. In the
I wrote them
box.
All.
Oh, that's right. They're all just from different Las Vegas addresses.
I've been trying to scumbag you into racing for the longest time. So we're super stoked for Easton, by the way. He had a great weekend, and I want to hear it from your perspective.
All right. Well, it was a great weekend. I came out here. I've never ridden the East before, but I have ridden the perimeter, right, mm-hmm. twice, actually. So that kind of helps with, I'd say, a good portion of the East.
Half.
Say that. Yeah. In my opinion, I think the perimeter helps with more of the East than it helps with the West. So, my favorite portions of the perimeter are on the East, and my favorite portions of the East are on the perimeter. It just makes sense. Anyway.
I think you just said the same thing.
Yeah, so but backwards.
Yes.
Yeah, which makes it true, so it's good. came out here, did the track day. These guys were bullying me into racing. Conveniently, USBA does offer, I think, a very, very unique opportunity, and, you know, having done it now, I would say it's worth it if you're a street rider that thinks you've got something to prove, come out and do it.
Or even if you just want to figure out what racing's all about. I mean, you know, a lot of these street riders, they see the racing and they don't understand it. You know?
Yep, or they think it's so... most people in my head think it's so far away. Right. It's so far out there, and club racing really to start off is not. Maybe to get to certain people's levels, right, and to chase it super far, sure, I'll give you that being, yeah, that might be a little far off. But to start out, especially here in Utah where you have the Street GP program, it's super easy, super cool. It's also cheaper than a track day, actually. It was $127 for me to do that. There are three practice sessions and a race. And in between the three practice sessions, you're doing these classroom sessions, which sounds really cumbersome, but the classroom sessions were kind of honestly pretty laid back, not bad at all. Went over some things, but it wasn't this huge in your face, how to ride, this, that, safety, blah, blah, blah. It covered the very basics. That was really about it. And it just stressed the point that the point of the Street GP program is to make it home in one piece,
yeah,
get a taste of racing in a day, and come out and enjoy some time with USPA.
So the Street GP, technically you wouldn't normally end up with a race license afterwards.
True.
So there's a separate certification program. It's a new racer certification or new racer school, depending on where you're at in the country. They might call it something different. I think it's important to know, and you hit the nail on the head with it, is if you're interested in doing something like this, it's not rider coaching. It's literally introducing you to what racing motorcycles is all about, grid procedures and some of the safety stuff, and giving you a taste of it. So,
yeah,
just to clarify.
Yep.
But
anyway, we started out the track day. I think that first session of the track day, first time on the East officially, I was running like a 2:02. Consistently, I had like maybe one 159.
He wants to get right into times here,
but
that's a real racer.
Yeah, that's a real racer mentality.
Well, I'm just letting
all you at home that didn't think he was a real racer.
He didn't even know, but now he does. We're still getting it.
Okay, we're not talking about times anymore. Tires are cool. Helmets are good.
No. This is what I think you should say. So, you just mentioned that with the Street GP program,
mm-hmm,
it's a easy way to get in without a racer license. You started to mention that normally it's just you could come do it technically every weekend as the laws, or every race weekend.
Street GP,
don't do
yes.
that. That's ridiculous. Yeah. But
if you're interested in racing, go racing. We'll get to that in 30 seconds.
Yeah. But what I was going to say is when you come here and you do what?
NRC.
You freaking win.
Oh, yeah, when you
win. Well, you win your Street GP.
When you win your Street GP, so just real quick.
Yeah. Congratulations, Easton.
Thank you.
No times required.
So there's no, you know, it's an experience. It's not a competition, they'll tell you, but it's an experience. But, hey, when there's a green flag and a checkered flag, it's a race. I don't care who it is.
Lions.
So, but the USBA doesn't typically offer the race license for that.
In the past, they haven't, and maybe I shouldn't have put this out yet, but
we're
going to do it because no one told me not to. They are looking into making the Street GP available for, essentially at the end of it, you can petition for your license, and if someone watched you throughout that program, it's a lot shorter than your actual NRC course, but if they watch you, they have eyes on you, you look like you're doing good, and you do good. The biggest thing with an NRC is safety and predictability, right?
Correct.
So that's what they're looking for out there in the Street GP anyway.
Not like
so if they
running
can see that.
The red light when it comes on twice in a row.
Yeah.
Things like that will get you a race license.
Yeah.
You didn't do that. Somebody else did.
That's coming from us. You don't have to take blame for bringing that up.
Yeah, I did. And nobody corrected him.
That's true.
Poor guy. He didn't listen very well in his classroom sessions, obviously.
We went over. We go over the starting procedure.
Multiple
times. Dave went over it two times, and then we walked through it. Like, each person said one step of it, you know, which gets real awkward because they got to me, and it's like, yeah, so then what do you do? I'm like, well, then you put your hand up. Because we were at the point where you put your hand up on the track to let them know you're coming to a stop. And I'm like, do you want me to keep going and, like, give you the next three steps, or do you just want me to say – anyway, it's not important, but the Street GP program is sweet. Yeah, you don't have transponders, so it's not an official race. You're not getting a medal. You're not getting anything crazy. But you also just have to do a track day prep on your bike. You can still have a two-piece suit. You can still not have a back protector. Different things like that. The rules are a lot less. It's track day rules, essentially, but you get to go out and race. And so I like what you said and corrected me there, but, you know, not just if you have something to prove, but if you want a taste for it, great place to do that. You know, we had someone out here this weekend that recently bought the bike, I believe, or at least relatively recently. He'd been out on the west, never been on the east, decided to do street GP this weekend, had a great time. No one put the bike down. There were no wrecks. It was all safe.
Yeah.
Everything was great. I won. But, you know, hang out with lions and you become a lion, I guess. I don't
know. True story.
But,
so, that was NRC. I think we covered that pretty good. I will say USBA, that's an awesome thing that they offer to help riders in and out of the area get a taste for what this is all about.
Agreed.
So, I think the game plan was to do the street GP and just enjoy the rest of the weekend hanging about.
Yeah, I was honestly just going to work his stands, which I have to apologize formally on camera that I...
He was no help.
I was requiring help more than I was helping, so...
We'll get into what kind of help you required. So,
that's true.
But the president of the USBA and a few other USBA board members are actually out there staff riding, I guess you could say, the NRC and keeping an eye on you guys. All of them, and I know you wouldn't toot your own horn, so I'm going to do it for you, but all of them had compliments as to your demeanor, character on and off the track. And they
track
said you rode
prowess.
Well. Track prowess. That's such a powerful lion word.
Did you just coin that?
Yeah.
Prowess.
Yeah.
But track prowess. Yeah. That's good.
So anyway.
It's going to be a shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. It's coming out. Coming to a Walmart near you on a shirt or something.
I can't promise that, but it'll be somewhere.
the internet. Yeah. So a couple of them come over and said something, and actually what ended up happening, they ended up offering you, because they want to start doing this to folks to stand out, an opportunity to end up with a race license after your street GP. So, I know you kind of debated it back and forth, but in the end...
The lion said, do it.
Do it!
Yeah,
we're racers!
The little cub wasn't so sure about it, and then all the other lions were like, get it done. No, to be honest, you know, you and I, Lugnut, had a pretty good conversation about that, and I think that one of the biggest things that was going through my head is like, well, what do I race? What bike do I race? I brought a track bike. You know, that's got lights and no safety wire, no belly pan, and no whatever else. Insert USBA again with an interesting class that's pretty unique to hear, so I found. The Super Street class.
Right.
So after our discussions a little bit, I got talked into it, and we went and picked ourselves up a race license, got registered, and did two more races this
and
week.
Then Anthony
well,
spent
before,
4 hours.
Before we were there, I needed
four
to
hours.
Buy our horn. The only reason why it took me 4 hours...
The drill bit broke. The batteries weren't charged.
Well, I'm an idiot, and I plugged in my battery in my trailer. And then I went back 30 minutes later, and it wasn't actually plugged in all the way. So I had to start
regardless,
that process
regardless, 4 hours.
It was easy work, though. I've done so many race bike preps by now. When Easton, you were telling me, hey, like, what am I going to race? I got to safety wire all this. I knew I had 1.5 drill bits in there, and I could do this. So typical, something I do want to mention, though, is I didn't have everything, right? So you need to use a... hose clamp around your oil filters and safety wire that so oil filter itself can't come loose on the track causing a big huge mess of oil. It would be terrible. I didn't have one. You obviously didn't have one. But something important to point out is, you know, the paddock that is the family. I think I asked three people. The third person was like, oh hell yeah, I got one right on the floor of my trailer. So he was sitting there, he gave it to us. You know, there's always an answer here, and that's the kind of environment that you can expect to walk into doing a street GP, doing the Super Street, getting your race license, or even on a track day. There's a lot of people around like that. That's why you guys are always so encouraging about getting people to a racetrack.
Right.
You know, if you have any reservations about it, just know part of the family. We're bike people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and to go along with that, you know, I was hanging out in a tent with, well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You had, what, 7 bikes here? 6, 7, 8. 9 and 10 different bikes all in this little row right here. And pretty much everyone out here, I'd put pretty high up on my pedestal of people that I look up to. And you being one of those for sure, also you being a huge part of that. Well, if you show up with lions and you hang out with the lions also take care of you. They don't just force you into something that they're not willing to back you up with. And so huge shout out to the team here for helping me out for all that safety wire, the drill. Yeah, no, Lugnut, I was out busy doing paperwork.
Getting your race license.
Yep.
4 hours
doing whatever else. He must have complained behind my back a lot about this because I didn't hear that.
I was complaining.
But yeah, I mean, and it wasn't just you either. You know, Mike Bishop was over there while I was here to help me with whatever I needed to.
Absolutely.
Questions and the best part too is then the next morning, you know, we're set, we're ready to go, and I've got all of this track experience at my disposal. I can ask whatever I need to ask. But at the same time, I'm not getting bugged. You guys weren't over here just like, hey, you need to do this, 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 and this. It's just purely, hey, where do you need help? Can I offer some assistance? And so having those type of people behind your back, I think, is huge.
Yeah, man, like none of us, we've all had our own journeys. I mean, your journey looked a little bit different than mine, than Mike's, than Wyatt's, as far as this sport is concerned. And I think the one thing that all of us know is, like, you're gonna have to feel some pains here and there, like growing pains or whatever, and figure some stuff out. And you don't know what you don't know, so you ask. Or what do they say? You don't know what you don't know, so maybe you wouldn't ask us about it.
Yeah, sometimes, but you don't know what to ask.
Right, exactly. So if we see something that's like, yo, hold on, we'd let you know. But the reality is you're no rookie to this stuff, right? Like, you know bikes, you know the track scene. You were hanging out with the Lions before you decided that you're going to join the Pride.
It's true.
But
I was a lonely cub. Watching from afar.
No. It's great to have you out here, man.
I'm just trying to make more Lion references.
What is up with the Lion theme?
That's Josh, you started it.
Yeah.
We got to keep it going, but I love it.
We're going to call this the Circle of Life of a Racer. That's going to be the title of this podcast.
All right. Sure.
What's the song?
The Circle of Life. Yeah, dude, I sung on a podcast once, dude. Don't make me do it again. I suck at it.
You just try it on your own.
Force me to. Anyway, sidebar. All right.
The only thing I remember about that movie is the yeet part.
Oh, that's the sad part.
He never yeeted anyone. It wasn't the movie.
I never narked on nobody.
No. Hey, man, he was in my face.
I scrubbed 3 seconds from your advice.
Nice, dude.
There are people that would say.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
Yeah, so if you're up for it, like I said, man, if you're driving, I'm confident you know what you're driving about. What's got the credentialing?
I see a little Facebook follow, so we'll figure it out.
Oh, you saw me do it?
Yeah. I just haven't responded to it yet because I don't even know where my phone's at. But.
It's all good.
Take care.
Yeah.
Get home safe.
How long is the drive to Vegas?
I don't know. Not heading there. Staying in Utah for a day or two.
Yeah. Fun, guys.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Take care. He obviously doesn't know we're filming a podcast, but we're just going to let that.
I wouldn't even edit that out.
No, I'm not going to, because this is proving our point, right? Like, yeah, this gentleman was struggling out there on track, and I noticed it, and I'm like, man, he's going to hurt himself. And so he came and approached me about it, and I laid down my knowledge on him. He knew where to find the answers, right? Just back to Josh's tip, he went and found the Lion.
Conveniently, the Lion is placed very closely to the entrance to the track.
Yes.
I do like your location here.
This is our spot.
The watering hole.
Yeah.
The watering hole?
Yeah. This is the observation tower for everything that goes on. It's funny, when we come here, the guys give me a hard time when we pull through the gate, because you've got this big old trailer now, and, we're taking up all the space. And he's like, the last time we came up here, one of the track workers was like, man, if somebody needs to park here, you're going to have to move. I was like, everybody here knows where I park. I ain't going to have to move. So
there are lines on the ground.
Yeah. Well, there's that. And I peed on this spot once, so it's mine.
That's back to the Lions.
Is that how Lions do it? They also pee on things?
John,
I thought they pooped on it.
I didn't do that, but if I need to, I will.
Wait until he finds out I peed on his bike.
Ooh. I knew you were a Cowie fan. Man, where the hell were we? Easton, okay, so you got your race license.
I did.
I worked all night slaving over the Aprilia.
Four hours.
Yeah, through the snow, man. Broke all my fingers trying. Anyways, we've got your bike ready.
Which gave you the opportunity
to go racing.
Because, so I guess let's clarify a little bit. The Street GP class that you did, that takes place on a race day.
Yes, true.
So we have 2-day racing here at Utah now. And so Saturday was his Street GP. So all that happened on Saturday, but it left Sunday open for whatever.
Yeah. So the only thing we can get your bike into is that Street GP.
True. Well, the Super Street.
Super Street.
I also get it confused. Every time I say one, I mean the other one,
yeah.
I promise.
Super Street.
But Super Street.
GP.
We have stock fairings on the bike.
Stock fairings, no belly pan, but you have to make sure that you're taking a real good look at those things to make sure we're good. We wired the calipers. We wired anything with oil behind it. Wired the radiator cap.
Water pump.
We wired up the kickstand.
Kickstand,
right?
You got wired up.
Yeah, you got to wire up the kickstand. So all that's done. All that's done, but we decided to, hey, come here for a minute. We decided to go ahead and get you on the racetrack. We're going to take a quick intermission. We're not going to leave, but you guys know this fella, so he's going to come say hi.
Come here.
You've been on this show before. You guys remember Josh, right?
Come join our pride.
Hey, sit on my lap right here. Big Poppy's got him on his lap.
All right.
How's your weekend, Josh?
It was good.
Yeah.
Four races, four wins.
What? Hey. Big fast guy. Oh, my gosh. All right.
I mean, I finished behind you in KOM, but KOMU, you know.
KOMU.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait a minute. You count that one?
I mean, that's more important.
Yeah. It's still a win. Win's a win. Yeah. We were actually just going over your previous employment with the club, which was tech for his Super Street GP. Yeah. So we were leading into Easton's first race weekend.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Did you fall down?
No.
There you go.
Right there.
That's a win. And he's got, well, I'm not going to spoil it. We're not going to spoil it yet. But he did pretty damn good.
Okay.
All right.
I'll have to watch and find out.
You taking off?
Yeah.
We love you. Talk to you soon, man.
Safe travels.
Thank you.
Say bye, Josh, everyone.
Bye, Josh. Family.
So, Super Street GP. Here we are on Sunday morning. Easton's got his race license, got his bike dialed. What number are you? You had to pick a number.
They did. When I got over there, they said, what number are you? And I was like, I need a number. Yep, you do. I said, well, what are my options? They said, 3 digits under 1,000. I was like, okay, can I start with a 0? No.
Wait a minute, you just said something stupid, and I just need to point it out when he does it.
Oh, he was actually quoting somebody else. I'm going to give him that one.
They told you 3 numbers?
3 digits under 1,000.
3 digits under 1,000? Aren't all 3 digits under 1,000?
Yep.
Okay, just checking.
I don't know if they said it exactly in that order, but he did say 3 digits, and then he did say
checking,
anything under 1,000.
Brain's been in the sun
for a while. Well, to be fair, he probably thought, you know, I got a lot going through my brain at that point. I'm like, number. He's like, yeah, 3 digits. I'm like, then he gave me the reminder, like, anything less than 1,000, right? So it was more on me than him. But Jared, if you're listening, don't worry. It wasn't you. It was me. Anyway. But I had no idea. I was like, I wasn't expecting to come in this weekend and pick a number. I didn't have some like special crazy number, and like I've never had a 3-digit number in mind, you know. I had 111 on my bike because on the East Coast they required you to have a number for track days.
Yeah.
And it was the easiest thing to just do 3 giant lines with electrical tape, so I just put 111 down.
Are you gonna take them off now?
The other bike, I don't know. Maybe not. Now they're just lion scratches now, right?
Oh,
they just.
Man. Monster Energy.
I just said, you know, 911. And I kind of expected it to be taken, and he's like, ooh, well, we'll see if it's taken. And then it wasn't. So
I couldn't believe it either.
Here we are, 911, and maybe we'll just stick with it for funsies.
I think it's done.
911?
So that's a good number. I like it. Strong, powerful, important.
We're going to have another intermission?
Yeah, maybe. What up, man? Filming a podcast. That's all right. We are, but we're not. Yeah, but we're not cutting any of this out. It's all part of the podcast. So, yeah. Yeah, that's fine. You had it out?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for your help. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll do.
What'd you get down to?
33.8.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Better look next.
Well, I got about another second to go for the lap record for Stock 1000, so, yeah.
Far off.
We'll see. Yeah. I think it'll be a little, we're done at East this year,
mm-hmm.
So I got a bone to pick still with West. I know we've gotten pretty fast there this year, but about a month from now, we'll be back doing it again, so.
Yeah.
Shane Turpin is an inspiration to many around here, but I kind of want to. I want to surpass his elite status. I do. Yeah. Why not? I'm a lion.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
We're lions.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll ride the Stark someday, but not anytime soon.
Or you could have just taken me up on it.
Nah. See you next time.
Next time.
I don't know.
Just down the pit.
Dirt bikes are scary, man.
Down the back. It's not even a dirt bike anymore.
It's a Tesla with knobbies.
Doesn't have knobbies. Supermoto.
Oh, you changed the tires? Oh, yeah, God. Supermoto. That's even scarier.
Electric supermoto?
Dude, the thing rips. Those things rip.
Oh, I believe it.
But I'm scared.
It doesn't make the cool noise.
Did pretty good on East.
You got to make it in your helmet like he does when he's racing. Yeah.
I made the
back.
It's got backup now. I can reverse. So
wow.
I heard the beeping noises as I loaded it in the trailer in reverse up the ramp.
Oh, this world we're in. Yeah.
It's a good time. Next time.
All right.
You have a backup camera on?
Thanks, buddy.
It's so hard to ride. You need a backup camera. And you're just like... Motorcycles are not meant to go backwards. They do not go straight.
It's death.
Reverse.
Right? Okay. See you, man. Yeah. Get home safe. All right. We're not sorry about any interruptions during this podcast. This is a wing it show, so we're winging it.
They're all wing it shows, first off. Second off, we are at the track.
They're wing nut shows.
It is Sunday evening, afternoon, whatever, and people are going home after this long weekend that is
taxing
me the way I am right now.
Yeah.
Which is okay.
Right.
But we're also real, which is the best part, because we come to you from real places like this, like the racetrack, right after race day, where you've got two very tired, worn-out racers. At least one.
Three.
Because he's so old.
Three.
I'm doing great.
I can beat, dude. So you can count me in. Yeah.
I also only.
Yeah.
You promised me. All right. No old
but
girl.
Here, hold on. Let's roll the show along a little bit. These guys are waiting to hear what the hell happened in your races. You had two races today, Easton. Your
I
first
did.
Race.
Did have two races.
Let's talk about it.
All right, first race. I tried my very best to not be nervous. Due to other things that I do in life, I'm pretty good at not being nervous, pretty good at just keeping my calm. And when it comes down to it, you got
that
muscle memory.
That even kill personality to begin with. I mean, let's be honest.
Flatline. You keep it cool. You keep it cool.
Move on.
Sorry.
I was just trying to demonstrate that personality you're talking about.
Dude, I thought your brain just like shut off for a second, actually.
I wasn't tired, and then... It's called power saving mode. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Should try it. Anyway... I was doing my best to not be nervous, but I'll tell you what, you know, I was on street tires, which I did have two practice sessions in the morning. I want to touch on that a little bit, I think, because those practice sessions were a little bit different than a track day. And I get what you're talking about now.
Mentality, right?
Yeah, I get it. Because I went out there with specific, these corners, I need to work on these things. And also, I had a brand new set of street tires, which does still kind of weird me out a little bit. Because they got that whole, like, make sure you scrub them in or break them in before you hard turn on them. And I'm like, I'm gonna go race on these things. I gotta be able to hard turn on them. So that first practice session was to make sure like all that was out of my head. Whether or not it's real, it's for you to decide. Cole will tell you no. Most people will tell you no, especially the best advice I've heard is put tire warmers on it, and it's good because it's really heat that gets rid of it anyway. But I needed that out of my head, so went and cleared that. And I went and started working on a couple different parts of the track that I wanted to. And then, you know, second session of that, pretty much the same thing. Yeah, we had a race, and I tell you what, going out for a warm-up lap on a race.
Hits different.
I was just going to say, the kids say hits different nowadays,
hits,
right?
Yeah, hits different. Dead ass, no cap. For real, for real.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You lost me.
Thank God.
But you come around that last corner, you put your hand up, and you're not exiting the track. You're coming around to stop on the track, which I don't know if you need to put your hand up.
You
I didn't see other people do it as much.
It's a good idea, but a lot of people don't do it.
Yeah.
Most people know that you're racing, and so I figured that's why they don't. But I put my hand up because I'm brand new. I didn't want anyone to be like, you had your license, now you don't. So we played by all the rules today, which we will forever, because that's what you do.
Okay, move it.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, and then you line up on the grid. And yesterday at Street GP, there was a mock start, right? So we started, and you said race to turn four and then back off and come back around and we'll actually race. Today, there was no mock start. That was it. And that red light is much faster in a real race than it is in Street GP. They give you a hot minute in Street GP. The light came on, and I was like, okay, now we're going. Today, it was like clutch in, rev up, the lights up. Oh, the light's out. Okay, we're going. And it was kind of very instant. The nerves.
Let me tell you, did they go? Any nerves went away as soon as you got off the grid? As soon as you left the line?
No.
No?
No.
Interesting.
No, that's when they all showed up.
Oh, I got this. I don't got this.
Literally, on the grid, I was good. You know, I've raced out of some stoplights before. I did a race yesterday, kind of, twice,
yeah.
Two mock starts. So the starting procedure I was good with. There was also, like, I was in the second row, sixth position. I knew there was no one behind me, and there was only two guys in front of me, and they were in first and second. So right in front of me was open. So, like, not a very stacked grid, which I think helped out a lot because I didn't have to worry about, am I going to run into this guy or is Blah going to run into me in the back if I mess it up, right? So that helped out a lot for my nerves. But even so, like, yeah, as far as the starting went, I was pretty good. I grabbed whatever RPM I wanted and then just went. And they weren't the best starts, as you guys saw, which is fine. But as soon as I'm done with that, now I'm cooking it into turn one, which turn one on the east course of the UMC is not to be messed with.
No.
Badly.
It's probably the trickiest corner on the track.
It's a very interesting corner to race to from a dead stop, right? Because you're not, you want to get as much speed as you can so you can get as past as many people as you can. And you also got to set up for this corner and go through it. And I'm coming in here with zero experience racing, actually, and two dudes in front of me that are very experienced. And that kind of, yeah, I mean, that showed moving throughout that race. But I think we did okay. Throughout the race, it was a little, I don't know, how deep do you want me to go?
So back up a little bit.
Okay.
So you said you didn't really feel the nerves, because I think I'm more like what I think you were implying or saying is the butterflies, everything. As soon as the flag dropped and you're on the gas, now it's just about racing a motorcycle. So
maybe that's more like us now, you know, versus I can't really remember the nerves point from when I first started racing, but...
So, I've told you before, so... You just said a minute ago, you just looked at me and said, now I get what you're talking about. Were you meaning, because I always tell Easton, on a track day, sometimes you're being competitive, you're playing with your friends, you're actively trying to pass that guy in front of you, or to catch, or all that stuff. But when the flag drops on a race, everybody on the track is trying to beat you, and you're trying to beat everybody on the track, and it's not a secret, like, I'm going to see if I can catch this guy. That guy knows you're trying to catch him because he's racing you.
Yeah, a whole different element.
I think to cover what you're trying to say, or what you might be asking or leading to, and to cover the nerves on the start, to be completely honest, I knew I wasn't going to do anything crazy off the start. I wasn't using launch control I'd never had before on the bike. I wasn't going to try and just launch it and get the whole shot into turn one. That was never my goal, because that didn't feel safe for me. It didn't feel like the right thing to do to other people out there that have been doing this for a long time and have a lot more money invested in me. And so as far as the start, my only goal was to get off the start line when the light came down and get a good start and not just be completely gone from the group, which I think is what I accomplished. And I think that's why the nerves weren't there for the start, because I had gone over that start in my head all day. I was good to go on that.
So do you feel like you didn't expect to be as close to them right away as you were? Because I know you were kind of on their heels right away.
Yeah, absolutely not. I was
you
on
think
the.
That's why you got a little bit of those nerves?
Probably. Okay. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like going into turn one, I'm coming up behind, you know, this Ducati, and I'm not on a slow bike, and I knew that, but I didn't. In my head, all racers' bikes are way faster than my bike, because I'm slow, right? Because I was just a track day guy. These guys are faster, and so their bikes are faster. But I kind of forgot that when we all take off from a start or from a stop, we're all just giving it the onion, you know, the full get. And if you got more full get than someone else and you weigh way less than them, you might get them a little bit, which is kind of exactly what happened. And yeah, I definitely wasn't expecting that, especially on the first one. Yeah, I was kind of right almost running into the back of people, breaking it a little earlier than I thought I maybe needed to.
So in all honesty, you made a mistake.
Yeah.
Lap two. Went a little bit deep till in turn one, and you kind of lost a little bit of ground.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
So the rest of the race, you were just trying to keep the guys behind you. Mm-hmm. And that puts you in third at this point, right? So how successful were you at keeping everybody behind you?
Well, we did it.
Did it? Got your first podium?
We did it.
Hell yeah. Race one, podium, P3. And the nerves kind of went away, right? As the race went on, do you think you kind of relaxed and settled in?
Yes and no. It's interesting because, yeah, I did relax and settle in, but I relaxed and settled back into track day mode for half a second. There were probably two turns in one of those laps that I was like, oot-de-doo, and I was like, what a second, dude. You're,
That's what I'm always telling you about. That's why I yell at myself.
Yeah.
In the helmet.
Well, that's what I did.
If they ever decide, we might release some of the in-helmet audio from Cole's races.
Not kid friendly.
It's not a great idea. We're not going to be able to post it on YouTube, but... Great stuff.
If you ever meet Cole here in person and you're curious about an in-helmet audio,
we got a clip.
Yeah. Have him pull some up. But
So, P3 race one for you.
Yep.
And then you were the last race of the day. So yeah, that was earlier in the day today, and then you were the last race of the day. How much different was it going into it for the second time now?
Was it worse?
No, kind
of. I think it was worse. Let me. You can tell me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
But what you got? You had some early success.
Mm-hmm.
And now the pressure starts to build because you.
One, I podium once.
You have to win every freaking race out at USBA. You have to win every race.
What did you tell me once?
I said that you didn't have to win every race. You told me that's the stupidest thing I ever said. I know.
It's because he's a lion.
But he set a bar. He didn't have a bar going into the first race. There was no 100%. Bar. You finished last. Yay, Easton. You're a racer. Good job.
Yeah.
But now you got a third.
Got a shiny, blingy medal.
Yeah. Now we have to hit it. And I seen it. I know you. I seen it.
Yeah.
There was more pressure on the second race than the first.
No, you're not lying. And the other thing, too, was that.
No, he's a lion.
I'm a lion.
You are a lion. A lion. You're not lying.
That's your South coming out in you. You're a lion.
You're lying.
Are you lying to me?
Why are you always lying?
Dang it. We keep going sideways here. Enjoy the show, guys.
That's why it's a podcast. You know, that's the best part about the podcast is that we can just kind of, it's great. I love it.
So we're out here just to put out more nervous. Why?
Yeah, absolutely more nervous. There's a couple reasons for that. One, the bar thing you're talking about, 100%. That's, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the street GP was Saturday, right? Everything was good. I got a selfie from these weird dudes earlier in the week that was like, you are racing this weekend or you're a chump. And I was like, okay.
The weird dudes.
I signed up for it. I go out. On my way out, everyone is, you guys are so nice to me the whole day. And then on my way out, Lugnut's like, if you don't win, don't come back.
Facts.
And I tell you what, that was in my head. And I am going to, a little bit, right? Because there was a person in Street GP, which is perfectly fine. I get it. That jumped the start on both starts.
3 second head start.
Both starts. The light turned red. He's gone. I was like, well, that's not right.
He's a drag racer.
And the light comes out. And then I went. And I got passed into turn one on the Street GP race. Got that guy back pretty quick. And I'm staring at this red bike that's yards down. Maybe even a turn or two ahead. And I was like, Lugnut's going to kill me. Because I can come back right as I stand right now, hold second, and everyone will be like, yeah, he jumped the start, you're fine. This is literally what's going through my head the whole time. It's a four lap race. There's not that long. And I'm like, everyone will be like, yeah, you're fine, but you know, it would have been cool. I was like, or I can go get this guy. And so I went and got the guy. And that's what I did. And I came back and I was like, I'm not going to let Lugnut kick me out of the pit on day one. We got to win a race. So we won the race. I didn't get kicked out of the pit. And then, as you're kind of talking about, that's all fake, right? The street GP compared to race license, it's not. And I'm not trying to downplay it. But
look at it in our heads, right? Head. There's a checkered flag at the end of that. And in your head, you let me get in there and tell you, go after that.
Sorry,
dude,
Dave. I saw the red mist, and it was red. And I turned it into
mist. Did Dave tell you not to see red mist?
Yes.
Because I'll have a conversation with you about that later, Dave. So, we're racing. He said to beware
of the red mist.
Dude, that's where I live my life. But anyways, so when there's a checkered flag involved, it changes things, right? It changed your street GP experience. You had to go after it. You could have been just fine riding around in circles, la-di-da, but Lugnut told you don't come back if you don't win. So you went out there and chased the dude down, you passed, and you won your street GP race. Then you go out and practice the next morning. You're focusing on improvements out there on track because you want to get faster and more competitive. You go out to your super street race, one, put it on the podium. I will bring this back up. Lap times were like 2:02 when you started this voyage this weekend.
True.
And in your super, by the time you went through Street GP, and then now you're in Super Street, which is an actual race, we've gotten down to 150. Well, you did 153. No, hold on, not yet. 153.
In the first Street GP.
In the first Street GP. So we had a conversation about it afterwards, and I said, hey, let's get a good start, follow those guys, and I guarantee you that you're going to drop some more time. And I bring that up because people always ask me from a track day perspective, what do I got to do to go faster? I'll tell you, if I didn't give a shit about going faster, I would just keep riding track days. Because you're going to hit a certain point, and you're just not going to keep getting faster, right? You want to get faster? Do what Easton did. Get a race license and grid up. Because in the second race, we went from 202s to 154s to 53s, and then now we're in the hunt. So you're in third again. Off the grid in turn one. You went about a lap and a half to 2 laps, and then you came back around. You had made the pass for second. But in the process, also doing 51s.
I did get a 151 in there. And every other lap in that race was a 152.
So still, on average, faster than you'd ever done.
Yep.
New PR. Where'd you make the pass?
That pass was into turn 13, between 12 and 13.
Which is what? Is that the wind-up and release onto the straightaway?
Right before that. The straight, the back straight, if you will.
So you got a good drive off
right
the corner and passed him.
Like, I passed him coming in a clubhouse corner. Yeah, it was, I mean, I want to talk about that, I think, a little bit. Just because it's my first race weekend and I get to for once. So
do
I want
to
talk about
Hell
it.
Hell yeah.
So
we ain't got shit to talk about for this weekend.
To go back to the nerves thing, you're absolutely right. The bar was set, and I was like, well, I can't come back now worse than I did before. And I can't really, I could come back with another third, that'd be fine, but I'm like, I got a medal the first time, I can't come back and not get another medal. That was definitely in my head the entire time, 100%. Definitely more nervous. Also, I had a class of, an entire class of racers gridded up behind me that I knew about, and I will say that that put some nerves out there a little bit. Once we got going, that kind of left until the two guys that were blazingly fast.
Dude, those guys they had a shindig for 7 laps, man. They're
for 8 laps.
Oh, 8 laps. We're not going to go into that, but it was 8 laps, yes.
I saw part of it, and
sorry,
it came
guys, if you watch. I apologize for everybody. Okay, cool.
Anyway, that did come up quick. But you and I had talked about beforehand. He's like, hey, this guy that's, he's gridded in front of you. He finished in front of you. Follow him. Learn from him. I guarantee you'll drop some time and see if you can get him. And so I went out there, and I stuck to the back of him. I followed him into turn one. And I did this whole kind of weird thing that people have talked about, where instead of just trying to bum a pass somewhere, you analyze for a little while. So analyzed as I was catching up. And I talked to you earlier about how I don't do so well following people because I get too focused on their tail. Today I fixed that by not watching their tail and still following my line, but looking at my line but following his, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you kind of keep them in a peripheral almost. Yeah. I mean, it's in your face. You're right on them, right? But it's kind of in a peripheral, and you almost look through them as if they were a ghost. Like on those video games, like the one I hold the record on at your house. So there's a ghost rider. So there's a ghost rider, right? And you can kind of see through them. But you almost have to ride that way when you're in close combat on the racetrack.
Yep.
You know, because otherwise you can't. I mean, when you go 17 wide into turn one, you can't see where the hell you're going. You gotta view through them, right? So obviously you did a good job with that because you were able to set up the pass in the clubhouse corner, which is tricky. It's fast and it's heartbreaking, and it's a little off-putting. Vision there is a little bit weird. But
did fix that too, thanks to some tips from some people. Again, hanging out with Lions, you learn some things. There are definitely some corners on many racetracks, but this one especially that I had some talks with Lugnut about, like, hey, I'm struggling here. I know it. I can tell. I know exactly what the problem is. How can I fix it? Right, and we kind of talked through that and figured some things out, and that definitely helped.
I'm sorry, you got to go out there and try them.
And trying them during a race is best time to do it, 100%. Best time to do it. You set your best lap times in a race. There's a reason.
Why not? So. I always say that there's a good time for practicing, and during a race, I will try new things. But at the end of the day, I'm trying to put all of the skills that I've accumulated in my career thus far to work for that one race, that one lap, that one corner. I'm really breaking it down and not overthinking things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In a race. There's a race today where I was trying to go up a gear and carry a little bit more speed somewhere than I wasn't doing, and I did it, and I ended up going in PR myself, but it was awkward because now I was catching two downshifts in a place I wasn't used to, and all the while I'm trying to, put in the best lap I can because I got some fast guy trying to catch me from the backside. It's like it's different doing things in a race than it is just a track day. Or anyways, blah, blah, blah.
So, an hour ago in this podcast, we mentioned you can learn things from the Cubs.
Yep.
I'm going to just go with Cub over here.
Yeah.
You pointed out something to me today that came up in one of your conversations with Anthony. And I was like, oh, really? And I had to go back and look at the track to see a marker that he noticed I wasn't hitting that you had told him to hit. And I went back out, and it was a race situation. I was like, I'm not going to screw with that right now. And lap one, I didn't. Lap two, I thought, maybe I need it. And by lap three, that's just a new marker.
Yeah. Was it in that same corner?
In turn one.
Oh, in turn one. Gotcha. For a turn-in reference?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Turn one's tricky, man. Very tricky.
Turn one
here
sucks. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of fun, but it sucks.
Interesting turn. I don't think it's fun yet. I think it's fun going in. I think it sucks at the halfway point.
Yeah, you have to be so patient, or like you just want to go.
Yeah. You get turned, and you're like ready, and then you're like, nope, there's still more turn, and the track's falling away, and the turn's getting short. Like,
don't want to cut you off of your racing experiences, but I do want to say, hey, you entered the race in P2, so you went better, you PR'd, you got another medal, now you're on the second step of the box. Did you have fun? Was racing fun for you?
Nah.
Good. Get the hell off my podcast. I'm a guest host, I can say that. Guest host, I can say that.
You're fired.
Just kidding. Okay, just kidding. You, all right. Did you have fun? Yes. Did you go fast? Yes.
I think it was a very accelerated weekend for one, what I was planning. A huge shout out to my bike for showing up with a license plate and a mirror on and saying, no, you're doing the whole thing this weekend.
Now it's a piece of crap race bike.
Yeah, now it's a piece of crap race bike and duct tape and everything else. Yep. No, she did great. yeah, accelerated weekend. I honestly, like I said, I can't thank you guys enough here in the paddock, here in the pit right here, for helping me out, pushing me through that, and then being there. You know, it means something when I'm out there and you're coming by and Wyatt's coming by. And I see you guys come by, and you win the race, and I'm like, yeah! And Wyatt, you come in second, because unfortunately you had to race against Lugnut. I'm sorry. But then you both come in, you're both doing stoppies. Well, Lugnut's doing a stoppie, and Wyatt's kind of...
trying.
Anyway.
This seems like bashing on Wyatt.
Well, he's not here. He left early, so...
Oh, he'd be the first one to pick on somebody, so we're going to pick on him.
Sorry, Wyatt, but your stoppie did look
the
like
the issue is that he was on a 1,000, and this is really just a 600 track, so...
Very much so. Like if he was on a 600, he could have done a stoppie better because it's a 600 track. Yeah. I totally agree with you.
Oh, that's rough.
Anyway, come hang out with us sometime in the pit, because then you'll understand all of this. But
yeah,
Wyatt just punched a hole in his TV screen, but
he's all wiry over it now. Look what we did.
It's cool being out there and cheering you guys on, and I kept looking up and seeing him like, you know, only 50 people and being like, why don't we have more people out here? This is freaking awesome. Especially right at the beginning of KOM, was it? Were you and Wyatt are going in there?
Oh, battling in a tournament.
And you guys literally right next to each other. And there was a couple other points in there where there's people banging bars and you can see it all. From up above, you can see a lot. Watching you through your races, same thing. You know, watching you almost get that freaking guy back in the back going into the attitudes, and then I lose you and I'm like, yeah, I'm literally sitting there on the edge like, what's going to freaking happen? Just waiting for whichever helmet color comes around that final turn. You're just waiting. You're waiting. And you come across that start finish. You're cheering them on. And you come out. The claps are there. It's awesome to be on that side. It is so much freaking cooler to be on the racing side of that and to come in, to have fans or whatever you are,
dude,
friends, Lions.
We were pumped, man. When you made that pass and you came around ahead of that rider for P2, I slightly injured myself jumping up on the wall to cheer it on. We're not going to go into details about that, but yeah. Anyways, yeah, dude, it's exciting. And we don't like it, this is a team, but we get excited for our other fellow riders in the paddock and stuff. And like, we're all buds and you know, we're here to support, man. And so it was super cool. Like, I don't care if I had 100 other things going on with my own program, if it happened again, I would still drill every single one of those holes in your bike.
Four hours drilling.
You must be really butthurt about Lugnut being gone for 4 hours.
He needed me for some moral support. Oh, I was here for everybody. Anyways, I'm going to give a quick rundown of my weekend, and then you can do your weekend, and then we can maybe sum this whole thing up, huh?
Yeah.
So... I only did one race yesterday, and luckily that's all I needed to do. It was the open stock 1000 something, another race, and good run. I think me and Wyatt went 1-2 in that one, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Went quick, got it under my belt, everything was good. Yeah, one race yesterday, but they left me available because you're talking about cheering everybody on and all this stuff, and it's not very often that I get a chance to like watch racing all day and be there for you guys, because usually I'm doing a bunch of races too, but I just decided yesterday there was no skin in the game for me to do anything but one race. I went out there, won it, had a chance to help you work on your bike, which I'm honored. I got to be a part of your beginning in the racing journey. I got to push you a little bit to go out there and try to find that PR.
4 hours.
4 hours of drilling, and I was still pushing you to do your deal. So that was Saturday. Saturday night, we went out to dinner. Houston has his family here and a couple little ones, and we decided to go to brewery, so unfortunately couldn't join us. I'm sorry. Okay. We missed you. But then it's Sunday. It's the big day. It's KOM day, and it's a few other races for Lugnut day, and it's a money race for you today, and Easton race in 2 days. We had a busy day today. Good. And it was equally as hot. It was probably 98 degrees. It's been brutal.
Shout out to the air conditioner. That was huge.
Shout out to the air conditioner and the old privateer rig there. Shout out to those Dunlop tires, because they hung in there like a champ.
Yes.
And Lugnut went 3 for 3 today, including a new PR, which is pretty close. You shut your mouth when you're talking to me. So, but I PR'd. It's great. Nobody cares anymore when you're the lion, right? But
I care. That was freaking awesome. I could, every time that you came in, so I don't hang out with you that much at races. And so, yeah, unfortunately, I live on the other side of the country, and as all of us do, I have a job too, and so our paths don't always align. It's very special when we get to all hang out like this, and it's really special when it's at a racetrack and you're racing. That being said, I don't always know exactly what the procedure is. I don't want to mess with anyone's mantra. I don't want to mess up someone's freaking mojo or whatever it might be. I know I kept interrupting you because you got the tiny little headphones. You were sitting in your trailer, and I was like, I'd say something and no response. I'm like, wow, that guy hates me. And then I'll be like, oh, no, he's getting ready for a race. We're good.
Mantra, baby.
We're good. But when you come back in, also, like, is this guy going to be happy or upset? Because sometimes you can win a race, but you're pissed because you know you messed something up, right? Not just you. That goes for anyone.
That's a real racer.
But lions are truly like that, where they might have gotten the deer or the whatever, the gazelle, right? But they
wasn't a big enough deer.
Yeah, it wasn't big enough or whatever it was, right? But when you set that PR, you know, I think I was walking back in or something. I looked at you, and I was like, and you just winked and went 3-3. I was like, nice. We know. And then I was out watching Colt, right? And it was cool. It's awesome. It's cool, right, to be here for
little that. Wins, man. It's all, and you know, racing, there's a lot of bullshit that we go through. A lot of bullshit that we go through for those times, those moments where it comes together and you put together that perfect lap, or you win that race, or win that champ. So went 3 for 3 today. PR, morning race, got hot. I wasn't trying to go much faster. I just went fast enough and consistent enough to do the deal. So 14 laps in this heat was big.
I do want
to
bug you about that.
Yeah, it's all right.
I know it was hot. Mm-hmm. It was a full weekend. We were all busy. I get those aspects of it. But how hard is it to continue to push when you know you've got a 10-second gap?
It's insanely difficult. You know, that's when it comes to, I don't know what the right word is, but it's just maybe like the discipline, right? The discipline. It's very hard. Like, it's hot. I don't have to go any faster. Cole's on the wall during that 14-lap race telling me I got a mile. A couple other people on the wall trying to help out and tell me too. But, you know, I know Wyatt was behind me. I know he's in second. I know I got a mile. But a mile ain't really that far. You know, maybe it's not. I make a mistake or I run a little wide in the corner or something like that. And I noticed yesterday when I took the last couple laps off of that race because I checked out, that I started making all kinds of mistakes. And so today I decided I wanted to test myself for consistency to the end. And I think it was lap 13, I ran a low 1:34, you know, which is flying pace,
right,
on a super hot day, super hot track. But again, that was me just testing myself, you know, and I think that's what you got to do.
Yeah, let me say this too, though, is when we talked to Wyatt, right? Wyatt's famous. It's my favorite story from Wyatt is the unlocking a new skill in a video game, and then you just have that now. Like,
right?
You bought some new. You got some new coins, and you bought a new sword. Now you have that sword. For you, not to take anything away from that consistency, but there's only a lion, there's only really one way to ride, and if you've unlocked so many levels, like, could you ever do a 140?
It's so hard. You know, and you guys heard earlier on this podcast, somebody in the background was asking about coaching, and that's part of the reason why I don't do it. I don't know how to do a 140, you know? Like, but everything I do is at the speed that I do it, and it doesn't make sense when I back off that amount of time. Now, we can talk about it, right? Because motorcycle geometry is motorcycle geometry, tires are tires, everything that you're doing at your pace, maybe not exactly, right? But the things that you're pushing for, the path you're on, the skills you're trying to unlock, it's all the same stuff I'm doing. You know, maybe I'm 15 seconds up the road or whatever, been doing this a lot longer, and you know, I'm out there willing to risk it for the biscuit. We're all in the same boat. So it's really difficult to back off that pace. It's really difficult to be out there at a race and be like, man, I got all day long, I don't have to go any faster, you know?
And maybe not world records, but it just becomes like your range. Let's call it even a 5-second range.
Right.
There's just this range that you ride in, and you can do it without trying.
Mm-hmm.
And you can try your hardest and only be at the other end of that 5-second spectrum.
It's always been a thing for me with riders at the racetrack, like prideful people, right? What are your times like at Chuckwalla? Oh, you know, my pace is like 52s. They've done a 52.
Right.
You know, I've always considered my pace what I can unload my bike out of the truck and go ride. You know, like I can go do 34s here all day long.
Right.
That's my pace.
Unless it's raining.
What's that?
Unless it's raining.
Or snowing.
You're in 34s in the snow too, right?
Put
my pace.
Put some screws.
I don't know how to ride
slow.
Yeah. Anyways.
We never got the opportunity to see.
So, KOM, podium, Burt Brothers. You can shout them out. Burt Brothers here locally. Utah Tire King. They're expanding rapidly. They put up some money this year for the KOM, which is great because we spent a lot of money. We need some money. $1,000 to win. I took home my $1,000, but with that win, I get to keep my number one plate, USBA. So that sealed the deal for the championship this year. The hardest race of the day was the one after that, man. All the goods was already spent, man. I had to go out there and do 7 more laps in that heat. And there's a reason Kawasaki pays us a little bit of money to go out there and do our thing. And beyond that, man, our whole pit on 1000s that's over here, we got to go race at the same race and grid up. And so that was pretty cool. So three races, 3 wins, championship, some paychecks from a few different directions. Awesome Dunlop tires, as hot as it is. Dude, like I said, lap 13, going that fast, speaks a lot about the tires. Tires are great. We're all running Dunlops.
I had an 11-lap race today. And
fastest
what'd you
say? Lap of the race was on lap 11. It's because you're about to get your lunch taken.
I know.
But you pulled it out when you needed to. Sometimes that happens.
You won.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's a highlight for you.
Yeah.
That was the extended race, the combined GTO. Oh. The combined GTO, big winner. What about the rest of your weekend?
It was great.
Well, and I want to give you some props real quick on that. Because combined, I'm still new to this whole USBA thing and still trying
novice
to figure out.
Novice and expert.
Thank you. Combined is novice and expert racer. GTO, which means over 1,000.
Well, no. 3-digit number.
No? What?
Yeah.
It was over 1,000 cc's.
No.
That's
open.
GTO, man.
Oh, I don't know.
GTO.
That's not 1,000. That's not over 1,000.
No, GTO is 1,000.
Open.
GTU.
Well, bikes are over 1,000. Your turd box.
All right. Anyway, either way, it is combined. It's combined. Expert and novice.
GTO is the 600 class, and GTO is the 1,000 class.
All right. So mine's a 998. Can I race it in GTU?
No, because you're not under a certain CC. So it's under and over a certain CC, and it's probably 676. So the Triumphs are allowed in there.
All right. We're not going to go into tech talk here,
yeah,
but
read the rule book.
We could.
Stick to the rule book.
Maybe I read the rule book twice because of you.
Not just because of me.
Where do I go?
Oh, there's
this
one
hole?
Incident of my own. Yes.
It's been
correct.
4 hours.
All right.
But so I just want to give him some props on that. We can't just skip over that.
No, we're not.
This dude won combined.
Right.
GTO.
As a first full season novice.
Yeah.
It is crazy the improvement that you've had.
And it wasn't just a win in the novice.
But why do you think that is? Maybe hanging out with some lions.
Yeah, that sure helped.
Yeah, but it's also putting in the work.
Yeah.
Nobody can ride the bike for you. You can be a sponge all you want to, but you're the one that's got to twist the throttle. You're the one that's got to pull the brake and lean the bike, and so.
Got to be willing to put in the time.
Put in the time.
Take the risk.
Risk versus reward.
Spend the money.
Spend the money. That's it. And you got to get out here in the first place if you ain't.
Yeah. Then you got to consistently be on the track.
Yeah.
This is not really a sport. So that's a whole nother tangent, so I won't spend too much time there, but
here we go. I'm ready.
Well, no, something that's came up in the past, you know. I'll bring up Josh Hayes.
Hmm?
I believe that he could take the next 5 years off, not touch a motorcycle. hop on a motorcycle
and be wicked fast.
And be wicked fast. I believe that. But he's also been driving it since he was knee high to a grasshopper. He's been rocking on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
So when I complain on here and we get comments about you're not that old and stuff, we do get comments like I didn't start riding until I was 50 and whatever. The only point I always bring up about being old is teaching an old dog to do something when your body didn't go through 20 years of that repetitive motion or.
Hey, that is a whole tangent.
Yeah.
You showed me a picture today.
Mm-hmm.
A picture of yourself.
Yes.
Today. And we won't talk about the part that you were worried about, but what I do want to talk about is.
He had his clothes on, for the record.
Yeah. It was a picture of him. Clothes were on. All of them, actually. I didn't see any skin. So any time that you show me a picture that, or I'm scrolling through Instagram and I see a picture of you out here racing, I think back to years ago when you joined me for your first ever track day in a textile suit on some Pirelli Angel GT tires that you weren't sure if you were going to change because, like, nah, I'll probably never do this again. And Ducati Supersport back then with handlebars, not even clip-ons.
No, they're clip-ons.
They were. Okay. But a more upright position.
They have a elevation to them.
And there's like some key points to that weekend that I always remember and I'm going to remind you of now, and I try and remind you of, I think, here and there, at least I think about enough. Maybe I don't remind you enough. But that wasn't too long ago. If you look at those pictures, you looked like a standard first track day. And you didn't look that good. You know, your upper body was off to the one side. Your lower body was kind of maybe off to the other side, but not really. And it was bad enough that, I'm just going to be honest, a coach came up and he's like, hey, man, you know, this, that. And you were excited, I think, maybe. But anyway, you didn't take it wrong. You said, yeah, well, I ride Harleys. And he's like, oh, I could tell. And he just kind of left. And we were like, whoa, that was rude. Okay. But look, you know, think about that moment and then think about today.
We got to remember who that guy is because I'll kick his ass.
But anyway, just looking
not
at
physically.
Looking
the
at the.
On the track.
A man on the golf course.
A man on the golf course. Frisbee golf.
Lions. Anywhere. Fishing.
Anywhere. Doesn't matter if I'm fishing, dude. Don't even get me started.
All right, I'm sorry.
But yeah, I just, you know, to look back to where you were and where you're at now, I think sometimes it's easy to get caught up in that 1/10 or that one whatever. But when you talk about being an old guy and learning new tricks, and when I think about how far body position has come for you, it's not just about lap times. It's about literally everything else that you're doing out there that, like,
bike control, body position, you know. Some of the hardest things are like making an adjustment mid-race or mid-corner, mid-battle, you know. And just for me, like, we've talked about a few things over the course of the season, and not just chipping away at the time, like you said, the lap times, but just watching some of the races, how you mentally handle it, or, you know, this is, we can go on and on, but I think we're both proud of you, first of all.
Thanks, guys.
And secondly, just cool, man. I think that's the cool thing about this sport. No matter when you start, no matter how deep you want to get down this rabbit hole, there's always something else to learn, right? And I think that's what's always kept me intrigued. It's not just about the next 10th. We do get caught up on that, very much so. But there's a whole other aspect to getting that 10th that is actual, the rewarding part, you know? Like, it's unlocking those new skills and doing something we haven't done it before. What's that? Coins? Well, that's why you win the Burt Brothers KOM race, and then you have the coins to buy the skills. Or a Cowie.
You know what? Let me tell you what I was the most proud of this weekend. It blows me away, and any of the listeners that watch, whether it be Moto America or MotoGP or World Superbike, how consistent those people can be. I mean, lap time wise.
Yeah.
How consistent they
can be. We've talked about that before.
Yeah. And me, I'm fairly surprised how consistent my lap times are, because a lot of times it feels different lap to lap.
Or corner to corner.
Or corner to corner. I mean, yeah. you're in traffic. You're like, man, that lap kind of sucked or whatever. And you come back, and let's just say it's all within a second, which is not World Superbike level, sorry.
Consistency, right.
Yeah. But I think what I was most proud of is I finished second in a race that pissed me off. Remind me to show you? 2/100ths of a second. I don't have a lap outside of 2/100ths of a second.
That's wild.
Over 7 laps.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. I mean, the race felt different from lap to lap.
Talking about your pace.
Yeah.
But I always tripped out on, like, how we'll make a mistake in turn 7 on lap 1 and turn 3 on lap 2, maybe 8 and 12 on lap 3. But then again, our lap times are within a couple tenths or a handful of hundredths, you know?
Over 2.2 miles.
Here. Over 2.2 miles, and we're making one mistake in a different corner here and there, you know? It's just wild, man. But, like, that, I think that goes back to, like, some weird human brain stuff where, like, our eyes are processing things at certain rates, and we start to get used to that pace, like my window, as we were talking about earlier, you know? But to be at that level of consistency or to be able to chip away or be that consistent throughout the course of a single race, that's solid, dude. It's pretty rad.
And it was within one second of my PR for that track.
Even better.
So it wasn't like...
We talked about that.
Yeah, it wasn't like you slowed down 4 seconds to do it.
To make sure I was consistent. Right. Yeah.
We talked about your lap times in your first race. It was 53s consistently, you know? And I was like, hey, man, like, that's a PR also, but that consistency opens your doors to 52s. Well, it opened the door straight to 51s, actually, and you ran consistent 52s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To a 151, but you're going to talk about pace. It was like 52.4, 52.3, 52.4.
Yeah.
Solid.
But that's how it goes. I mean, once you master the 52, you can move to the 51 and so on and so forth. Very rare you go out there and you find a handful of seconds in a session.
Oh, I was trying.
We're all trying.
We're all trying, yeah. I'll just do 127s next time I'm here on East. Don't worry about it. I got you. Yeah, yeah. And you're right, by the way. Here's my second water bottle your direction. 4 seconds. Whatever.
4 hours.
4 hours.
No, 4 seconds.
Oh.
West to east.
Yeah.
4.3 to be exact.
Yeah. So, side note, at USBA, we've talked about it a lot on here, so I won't go through that all again.
West track, east track.
We have a west track, we have an east track, we have a perimeter, whatever, but generally the club racing is either the east or the west, and they alternate, so it feels like a different track every month when you come to race.
And everybody's always like, well, what's the time relation to the east and the west track? Yeah. And
everybody says 4 seconds.
And I keep saying that's bullshit.
Yeah, he says that's not even true. There's tables in the... that the USBA brings out that has 4 seconds written in marker on the table. So
they've got it in their they've got it in their practice. When you sign up for the practice, it's over or like greater than sign this time east and this time west, and they are 4 seconds apart.
That's true. So
the whole thing is stupid.
Anthony talking smack all the time about it, but
disagreed.
But I work my butt off, and my PR on the west is one time, and my PR on the east is almost identically 4 seconds, and when I get outside of that range, I know there's serious improvement I can do on one track or the other, because I need to be within that 4 second range.
I'm just telling you that I only did a 133 today because I wanted to prove you right. I was sick of having this argument. I could have went faster, but I didn't want to tell you. Actually, it's 3 seconds, because then you're going to lose your mind while you're 4 seconds slower on
each. This is true.
I'm trying to help you out.
But Anthony is currently basically at the 4 second difference on his PRs. I'm at the 4 second difference. Everybody I know is at the 4 second difference. There must be some kind of truth to that.
I don't have a PR on the west. Yeah. Sorry.
Understood.
Guess we'll see you in a month.
We'll talk. No promises.
Anywho, I think it's a pretty damn good weekend, man. Good racing, first race weekend. I think we're both stoked to be a part of that. Me and Cole talk about it quite a bit behind your back, how we can't wait to see you go racing. And we got to see a dream come true today, and you got to do something that I know you've aspired to do as well.
Yep, it was definitely on the bucket list somewhere. I don't know if it was on the bucket list for...
This weekend?
Sometimes. Especially not in this fashion, but, you know, when you're with lions, might as well go hunting.
Yeah, that's right. And hunting we did, absolutely.
Okay, so we about done here?
Yeah, I think we're good.
I want to end... with, for all those that are listening, for all those somebody needs to come out. There's a lot of clubs around the United States. We could use some support out here. Send some people out. What do we get, honestly?
Attendance-wise? There is over 80 racers, which is actually a big weekend for USBA. there's typically your handful of regular fast guys that have been racing here for the last 15 to 20 years, and then there's some new guys coming out, and then there's the guys that are working their way up the ladder, the dedicated few. We've talked about the dedication level to put the season together. But, you know, come beat me.
Yeah, come beat Anthony. We got one more round for this season.
September 13th through the 15th, right?
Yes, And I know there's a lot of people,
September is a perfect time to dust off your race bike and bring it out to get yourself warmed up for CVMA.
True story.
And for all you Wera guys over there that are talking about how CVMA is not the fastest, well, you can go not quite the full distance to California if you don't want to travel into California and stop here in Utah next month in September and race a CVMA
racer. Honestly, a lot of CVMA guys don't come up here. So, I mean, if you CVMA folks listening, you Wera folks listening, want to find neutral ground to battle it out, come up here to Utah. There's money on the table, great people. They feed you Saturday night. Come out to the brewery with us on, you know, whatever, Friday or Saturday, or come get kicked out of a damn Applebee's with us.
We're up there.
So, yeah, totally agree, man. If you're watching this and you're a racer, you have your license already, you're looking to get your license, big shout out to USBA for coming out.
Or if you don't have a license yet, they offer Street GP. And having done it firsthand, you can say it's 100% worth the money.
10 out of 10?
Yeah, 100% worth the money. Awesome. And you don't have to go out and win it. You don't have to do anything crazy. You don't have to have the best bike out there. There's me on an RSV4, a guy on an R1, all the way down to someone on like an Ninja 300. And I think everyone had fun and sure sounded like it at the end of the day. So if you're sitting there and you don't know what to do, or you don't want to do a track day or something like that, whatever it might be, it's very unique that USBA offers that, so come try it out.
And it'll probably be cooler.
Yeah, but it'll probably be a little bit colder. It won't be cooler because my weekend's cooler, but it will be colder. All right, well, that was your weekly motorcycle podcast. Like we mentioned earlier, we'll get to MotoGP Fantasy come next week, so we have some time to review the race. We don't want to spoil it for ourselves, even though we're not a spoiler show, or we are a spoiler show. Anyway, enough about that. Expect that next week. Thank you guys again for listening. Come out, support your local club at least. And if you can, come out and support this one. It's a great one to support. I know a lot of you guys listen from Utah, so come check them out. Even if you're not going to race, at least come show up, hang out with the boys, watch some sweet racing. KOM is every Sunday. It's awesome.
Come by the privateer tent. We love to talk, hang out, talk bikes, talk life, whatever.
Yep. That's all I got. You guys have anything to add?
I'm good.
A special thank you to these folks right over here.
There you go.
That sleeve. There you go.
Yeah, and not just those folks. This is a motorcycle podcast for the world, so sponsors in general. You know, if you're a business owner that likes motorcycle racing, find yourself a racer to sponsor. It's a tax deduction. So
it's a tax deduction and
helps us keep doing what we'd like to do.
There's been some return on those investments, man. I personally love playing the game and getting people to know brands that they're not familiar with. And, yeah, like if you're listening, it's a fun sport to be a part of, so.
Yep,
for sure.
Sweet. Well, thanks again. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you. See you next week.